Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The Brain Massage Show is ready to go. Get ready. Your brain is about to get a massage.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Mad Dog Mattis. Are we preparing to nuke the desert? A dear man, someone who gave the Lighthouse a leg up at establishing our church in this community, once said to me, we need to go in there, and he was talking about Iraq, Syria, Iran, that whole mess, and just clean out that mess. Now, I don't have permission to identify him with the quote, but at that time in my mind, I said, wow. And I was so amazed at the statement, I said it again backwards. Wow. Thank you, Brother Harold. But he was right on. Maybe Mad Dog Mattis will take care of business over there and turn their desert sand into glass. Good night. Trump's bigotry. So what are the facts? You know, I keep hearing this from the Marxist socialist media, MSM, but they never point to a specific instance of bigotry. The context of these accusations usually includes some reference to his policies on immigration. So, what, is it bigoted to expect people coming into this country to come here legally? Is it bigoted to believe those who are here illegally ought to be deported? It's a pretty strange definition of bigotry, if you ask me. What is bigotry anyway? Right? And what about this bizarre and troubling Pizzagate story? Apparently, the MSM has finally been forced to weigh in on this, and as we might expect, they've dismissed it as fake news. But not one article that I've read from the MSM actually addresses the evidence that's used to support the allegations. They don't do it. They just blanket state, not fake news. Andrea Mitchell laments, quote, people related to Hillary as a man, end quote. What? People don't relate to Hillary in a personal connected sort of way. And studies have found that they react to her as they would a man or something like that. What? Liberals can't relate to men? Is that what we've got going on here? Now, I understand why they can't figure out Trump. They don't know what to do with a man. They're so used to this guy that goes around in mom jeans and rides a bike like a girl and handles foreign policy like a liberal mommy. Not like my mom, by the way. If I came home with a bloody nose, she only had one question for me. Did you get a piece of him? Then, oh yeah, if we have time, that dictator in Cuba died. And we'll examine the reactions of President-elect Obama, President-elect Trump, and think about what our action ought to be. For example, Proverbs 11:10 tells us, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, they're shouting. Should we be shouting? Folks, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Had the honor of preaching at the annual Home Missions Conference for Pastor Stevens and the Calvary Baptist Church in American Canyon Monday and Tuesday nights. It's truly the highlight of my year. Now, if you want a church with a great heart for God and His people and for the truth, go to Calvary. If you live around American Canyon, double entendre intended. By the way, the many pastors and their wives and their children who gather for this event are wonderful men, women, and children, salt of the earth, light of the world. The Dove and I had a wonderful time enjoying the hospitality of a great pastor and a great church, and that's the Calvary Baptist Church in American Canyon. Several of the pastors chipped in to help us with broadcasting costs and to help me get caught up, and I need your help too. We don't charge for the Rain Massage Show, but that does not mean we don't have to pay to broadcast it. And that's where you come in. Would you be willing to think about a Christmas gift to help the Brain Masseur with broadcasting costs this year? Every penny will go to pay our broadcasting bill with the radio station. Not one cent will be used for anything else. And it's important that you mark your gift by writing radio in the memo line of your check. So make the check payable to LBC and write radio in the memo and send it to 1310 West Bataravia Road, Santa Maria, California, 93455. That's 1310 Bataravia Road, Santa Maria, California, 93455. Or you can go to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com. You'll see a place there for donations. You can give us your gift that way. Thank you so much for your help. After terrorists inscribed 9/11 into our history and hearts, and Bush was taking us into Afghanistan, and there was already talk of going into Iraq, in order to plant an American soldier's boot put in the desert there, intending to establish the presence of American military might in the backyard of those of the terrorists' own turf, to take the battle to them and keep them busy over there, you know, in their own backyards, and hopefully to provide an opportunity for the people to taste freedom. You know, it has been more than once observed that free people don't tend to go around attacking their neighbors or blowing them up screaming, Allahu Akbar. I know many of you have your ideas about what our effort in Iraq was all about. Most today, it seems, have caved in my opinion, to the incessant propaganda machine on the left and that has worked to numb the Iraq war. Many even of my conservative friends have decided that the left was right. And it's amazing how many conservatives have flipped on it, but that's another show. Anyway, I had just paid for my car wash at Santa Maria Wash and Lube there on Broadway, and I happened to meet up with a friend, a listener to the Brain Massage Show. I won't mention his name because I don't have his permission to identify him with his quote. But he has been a great friend to me, gave us a leg up in getting established in this community. Thank God for him. And I'll say this much. He's well known in our community. The chances are good if I mentioned his name, you'd know him. Anyway, this is way back then, and we met, and we exchanged the appropriate hellos and all that, and he brought up the war and said something to the effect that what we need to do is to go in there and clean out that rat's nest. And the point was clear. In his mind, we should go in full steam ahead and wipe out every one of those Allahu Akbar terrorists and do it without apology. And I blinked a couple of times in amazement at the frankness of my friend. And his statement took me aback a bit, because while I had the exact same sentiment, honestly, I just wasn't expecting to hear it spoken out loud right in front of God and everybody there in public. Also, I reserve that for the radio show, you see. Anyway, I was in the investigation mode with all of that at that time, and I was attempting to discern the motivations underlying the decision to go into Iraq, which seemed a little bit confusing to me on some levels, and seeking the mind of God in the whole matter, and I was trying to establish a biblical perspective on the mess. But after some reflection and further study, sorting through all the layers of motivation that surrounded our move to war in Iraq, I landed at that very same position. But I was deeply concerned that unless it got done quickly and thoroughly, some dim would come along behind it and nom Iraq. I said that and repeated it over and over again. Don't let them nom Iraq. Well, they did, just as I feared. And many conservatives have gone along with it, because Bush is a globalist. Bush no doubt conspired to attack Iraq as part of a plan to subject America to a one-world government. I don't know. I don't know what to say about this kind of stuff. Now, I know that globalism is a real effort afoot and that it is dangerous to our sovereignty. But I am wary of the crowd that knee-jerk assumes that everything that happens is somehow related to, that if someone is associated with someone who's associated with someone who's associated with someone in the inner core of this conspiracy, that they are de facto soldiers in that army. I don't buy that. The circumstance that two people have a common enemy does not mean they have a common purpose or motivation for pursuing that enemy. Now, I'm not saying I'd go so far as to say the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I think the enemy of my enemy is still my enemy. But some alignments are exactly what we are told they are, circumstantial. Here's one hopefully very simple to understand example. The Catholics believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. I believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. But that doesn't make me Catholic or the Pope Baptist. Okay? The Catholic Church officially is opposed to abortion. I'm opposed to abortion. That doesn't make me Catholic, and it doesn't make the Pope a Baptist. I'm actively opposing abortion, same-sex marriage, and pedophilia, and all that junk, and I recently found an atheist group that's advocating for the same causes. But that doesn't make me an atheist or them Baptist. There are occasions when the purposes of both the globalists and the anti-globalists are advanced with the same policy or program, so that while they might have for a time a shared limited purpose, the motivations for promoting are completely opposite, and it doesn't make them partners with each other. We are coming up on Pearl Harbor remembrance. And did you know that some urged the United States to enter World War II for monetary purposes? Yeah, the low motivation of money. Did you know that? That's right. There were some who were rattling the sabers of war, pretending to be all patriotic, whose motivation was actually profit, because the war would profit their business interests. There were some countries who wanted America in the war for motivations we would never agree with. But at the end of the day, at the bottom line, preserving freedom was the chief motivation for getting into that war. It certainly was the reason God had us get into it. Now, if we said, well, some people want to make a profit out of this war, so we're not going to get involved because we're not, that would be ridiculous. It's the same with the Civil War. Some wanted the South to secede from the Union for monetary motivations. Some wanted the South to secede to keep slavery. Yeah. Many were strongly motivated, however, by a sense that it was just unfair. It was not right. It was unjust for the North to deny them the freedom to secede if they wanted to. It was a liberty issue in their mind. Some on the Northern side wanted to stop secession of the South for monetary reasons. Some wanted to stop them for political reasons. The point is, there are layers of motivation at work in the mix that moved the nation to war, but there was a divine purpose in all of that. There was an execution of the sword of vengeance in the punishment of evildoers behind all that. There was a higher motivation overarching the whole mess, and that was freedom, and in that case, for the slaves. Don't lose sight of that. It's amazing how many conservatives I talk to have fallen prey to the liberals' effort to nom Iraq. I lamented, those of you who've been with me for years, you'll remember, I warned this was going to happen, long before it did. Don't despise the blood of our soldiers spilled in the sands of Iraq like you did the blood of our own spilled in the muck of Nam. It sickens me. You know, my son talks about arriving in Atlanta in 2011, where people booed and spit at him and his fellow soldiers, about 10 of them walking together in uniform as they walked from their plane to a connecting flight. Yeah, coming from Afghanistan, where he served honorably, shot at for protecting the liberties of our country. Then when the group landed in Dallas, well, it was a whole opposite reaction. And I'm sure you heard about the Gold Star family that was booed on a flight from Sacramento on their way to Philadelphia when they stopped there in Phoenix to get a connecting flight. These stories are rare these days. I thank God for it. But anyway, I've gone over all this before. Look deep. Find the divine purpose for military intervention. God said he gave the sword of vengeance to government for the purpose of executing wrath upon evildoers. And it's a sad day when evil men get hold of that sword. And the reason I bring all this up right now is that Trump's pick for Secretary of Defense, you know, the guy that's going to run the Pentagon, that pick signals an intention on Trump's part to, well, shall we say, dramatically change the mission and strategy of our foreign policy with regard to how we handle the issue of terrorism and terrorists sponsoring or harboring states. It looks like we're going to go back to the Bush policy, only with Trump, it looks like it's going to be full on, no holds barred, get or done approach. He doesn't seem to be hamstrung by the same sort of political niceties that tripped up Bush. Old Bush, you know, he went out of his way to make nice with the political correct crowd and the nice Muslims who were not terrorists. And I'm sure they're out there. And Obama has come along and he's taken that way too far. But Trump does not seem to be concerned with political correctness. He's going to break us out of the shackles of political correctness. Praise God. I sure hope he does. When Trump announced his pick for the Pentagon, he observed that Mattis is the closest thing we've got to a Patton. And then he said, quote, it's about time, end quote. Whoa. If you want Patton to lead the Pentagon, well, then I think we'd better buckle up. That's quite a message, you see. I heard someone say Mattis recommended that we nuke the terrorists. I can't find that quote anywhere, but I found plenty of other quotes coming from the heart of that fella, that warrior, that tells me we just might be turning some of that sand into Trinitite. That's that glassy residue left on the desert floor after a plutonium-based nuclear bomb has exploded over it. Oh, mercy. Do you suppose God might have heard our cries for justice against this constant agitation from terrorists and has given us someone who will deploy the sword of vengeance to execute wrath upon these evildoers who are nailing Christians on crosses, raping their women, killing their children, and constantly calling on their plants over here to, you know, well, drive their car into a crowd and jump out slashing innocent kids with a knife or a machete, whatever, with crying out, Allahu Akbar? Yeah. You give him a few rounds in the ring with Patton. I don't know about you, but I'm very tired of these crazy jihad-headed Muslims killing innocent people in the name of their little God. Maybe it's time, I think it's past time, they face the vengeance of the Almighty God. Hold on through the break. I'll be right back.
Pastor Scheidbach is charging the gates of hell. Don't leave him hanging. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com to make a donation or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about two, to blow your one. Mind. Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jimmy Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Trump's bigotry. Really? Where are the facts to support that? I keep hearing this from Marxist socialist media, MSM, but they never point to specific instances of bigotry. Now, the context of these accusations usually includes some reference to his policies on immigration. And as I mentioned, is it bigoted to expect people coming into this country to come here legally? Is that what bigotry is these days? To believe those who are here illegally ought to be deported according to law? That's a strange definition of bigotry. What is bigotry anyway? We're going to see a very clear illustration of it right now. Now, here's an article from the Washington Post. Donald Trump, here's the headline, Donald Trump is a bigot and a racist. And the author is Washington Post's Dana Milbank. And I thought, well, here you go. Let's get some insight into this from the horse's mouth. So I'm scouring this for some specific indications of Trump's bigotry and racism. Now, let's see. Well, right here, here it is. It says, quote, he's gone after African-Americans, immigrants, Latinos, Asians, women, Muslims, and now the disabled, end quote. I guess it would have been helpful if he had actually indicated what he means by gone after and offered some specifics here. Now, folks, you know that I am no apologist for Trump. With many of you, most of you, I cringe every time I think about that appalling video of him talking about women in that disgusting manner. And his mockery of someone with palsy is unbecoming a gentleman. So don't think for 1 minute I'm like trying to provide cover for Trump. That's not what this is about. I just want the truth. And the truth is, Trump has hired many women to very high levels of positions in his business, and I don't think it's fair to them to suggest it was all about, well, you know. I mean, interestingly, that hasn't come out, has it, about his working relationships with the women in his employ. And you know, if there was any smoke there, you'd have heard about it. You'd have seen it. As for statements in which he went after African Americans, I can't find one. They never quote anything. They just lay out the accusation. Likewise with Latinos or Asians or Muslims, for that matter. Okay, so let's keep reading. Surely, Mr. Milbank will present some specific instance in which President-elect Trump expressed racist and or bigoted sentiment. Now, he mentions Trump's engagement in the birther movement. It said he was the leader of it, which is kind of weird. It was going a long time before Trump jumped into that. And by the way, that whole birther thing was something Barack Hussein Obama is responsible for. He fueled that. You might remember when all of that was percolating. I kept asking questions. Why doesn't he release his birth certificate? He kept sending his lawyers out all over the country to suppress any effort to get his birth certificate released. Why? And that thing ramped up until I finally said, look, this right now, this is it. I just sensed it. This is Obama's opportunity. He could present a valid birth certificate right now and end all this. If he obfuscates again on this issue, at a certain point, if he doesn't do it now, it's going to come to a place where even if he does, it won't matter. Because no one will believe it. Because he is, anyway. Being a birther does not make one racist. Obama is the one to blame for that entire birther movement. And unless your head is stuck in the sand and you've never actually looked into the issue, there's plenty of wiggle room for doubt about his status even today. And so I continue to call him President Alleged. But anyway, this is the proof that Trump is a racist. He took seriously the questions raised by Obama's apparent extreme efforts to keep his personal records private, including his birth certificate? Trump did not chastise Coulter for her vile anti-Semitic comment, which I've looked at and would agree it was vile, but not really anti-Semitic. It's weird. These people on the left are so infantile, so many of them. If you say something like, you know, for example, how many Jews do these people think are in America anyway, then that's supposed to be an anti-Semitic statement? I don't understand these people. Other than to know that that's their motivation. They want to come up with this. They want to be able to throw this at us. But this, in any other kind, for example, how many Baptists do you think there are in Santa Maria anyway? Right? What does that make her anti-Baptist? Anyway. Wow and reverse wow. Dana admits that not all of Trump's supporters are racist and bigots, but he claims that, quote, even a cursory examination of social media reveals that they are, end quote. Yet Dana does not cite a single instance from that group proving his allegation. Instead, he simply explains what should cause, in his mind, apparently, anyone to realize instantly that his allegation is true. You ready for it? Here it is. Here's why a cursory look at social media supporting Trump would prove to anybody who thinks like Dana that many of his followers are racist bigots. Quote, those supporting Trump tend to be white, less educated, and middle-aged and older, end quote. There you have it. As my beloved Dub would say, if you're white, less educated, which later in this article is explained as meaning they don't have a college education, and middle-aged or older, well, then you're racist and you're bigoted. You gotta be kidding me. That, my friend, is the most racist and bigoted statement I think that I've ever read in my lifetime. And that's the way it is everywhere I go. Trump is constantly accused of being racist and bigoted, but specific instances in which he said something that was indeed racist or bigoted are never cited. They just spin off into this, well, he's anti-immigration and all this kind of stuff. Unless you include things like, you know, saying he wants to put a halt on immigration of Syrian refugees until we could put in place a way to vet them in order to ensure terrorists are not infiltrating our country with them. You know, unless you include things like saying those who are here illegally need to be deported and they need to get in line with everyone else. Well, that just sounds like that would be right. You know what I mean? And that's supposed to be racism and bigotry? Unbelievable. They're the bigots. They're the racists. The good news is that Trump does not appear to be of a mindset to be controlled by such nonsensical accusations. He appears to be someone willing to move forward toward his destination, although not unaware of these vile and unfounded accusations. He's willing to ignore them, to not allow their howling from the sidelines to distract him from his mission. Like my son, walking through the Atlanta airport in the uniform of his country, having served in Afghanistan at Fort Tillman honorably and bravely, and though aware of the morons spitting at him and booing him, he chose to ignore them and move resolutely to his connecting flight to find a very different welcome in Dallas. Thank you, my friends in Dallas. And here, by the way, in Santa Maria, when he arrived home in Santa Maria. I thank God for Welcome Home Heroes program here in the Central Coast. You're doing God's work. Keep it up. Thank you. My friend, Trump is not racist or bigoted, but the MSM are both. Obama is a racist. Obama is a bigot. Michelle Obama, likewise, who's never been proud of her country till her husband was made president. Bigoted. Racist. Obama repeatedly showing that he wears his bigotry and his racism on his sleeves. You know, all those God and gun-clinging Americans out there? I'm sick and tired of these bullies using their name-calling tactics to control the debate in this country over some very important issues. The issue of race relations is an important one, and name-calling has no place in that debate. One reason the left does not want a reasoned discussion over race to occur is that it will come out that Democrats have been the racists all along, throughout our history. And it continues today. So they have to scream and yell and howl about racism on the right in order to divert attention from the egregious illustrations of racism that has marked their history and continues to be part of their agenda. Every evil, wicked racist in our country has been a Democrat. They can't afford for that to get out there into the awareness of the general public because it will blow their cover and destroy their base of support. If we had an honest conversation about what Democrat policies have done to the black families in this country, if we could have a real conversation about the truth, but it's coming out. Slowly and surely, the truth is rising from the gutters where the liberals, liberal Christians, and liberals in this country have cast it, and it's getting put back into its place in our society and culture on the pillar Christ established in the earth for it, the church, the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. A purging of the house of God is coming, for judgment must begin there. Has begun. And by prayer and fasting, the devils that have for so long held blinders over the eyes of so many Americans are being overcome and driven back. And those who are submitting to God are resisting the devil, and he is fleeing. I'll be talking about the revival that's rising on the horizon Sunday night. Don't miss it. So what about this bizarre and troubling Pizzagate story? Apparently, the MSM has finally been forced to weigh in on this, and of course, as you might expect, they dismiss it as fake news. They don't dig into the facts that are presented to address it. They just tell you, well, we looked into it, and it's fake news, and you're supposed to trust them. Yeah, right. But not one article I've read from the MSM addressing this actually deals with the evidence that's used to support the allegations. Now, I have looked directly into the emails from WikiLeaks, and sure enough, there are some very strange messages sent to and from Podesta that can't be understood in any other way than to say or to ask, you know, it looks like they're written in some kind of code language. Let me give a couple examples. Here's one to Podesta. Quote, the realtor found a handkerchief. I think it has a map that seems pizza related, end quote. What in the world does that mean? And here's another one that has an enigmatical PS. At the end of it, it says, quote, do you think I'll do better playing dominoes on cheese than on pasta? End quote. What? And here's one that reads, quote, Obama spent $65,000 flying in pizza/dogs from Chicago for a private party at the White House, end quote. You see, folks, no one flies in food from outside into the White House. That's verboten. Security issues and so on. All food is prepared on site at the White House. What is this? An email to Hillary now. Listen to this. Quote, I will be sacrificing a chicken in the backyard to Moloch, end quote. Yeah, Cheryl Mills to Hillary Clinton. What in the world is going on? Now, it just so happens that a chicken is gay slang for an underage boy. And we know that in paganism, there is a very long history of sacrificing children to Moloch. It goes all the way back into biblical days. So, what, is this some sort of joke that they have going on between them? You know, who laughs at that kind of stuff? Marina Abramovich sends Podesta an invitation to an event involving something called spirit cooking. You can check all that out, and I can't go into detail. It's wrapped up in a cult business, you know, devil worship, goddess worship, all that junk. It's beginning to come out. Their activity in the darkness is being brought out into the light, where their unfruitful works of darkness will be reproved and exposed. This is really not anything new, my friends. Even God's priests back in the Old Testament days were seduced into vile and wicked practices that they did in secret. But it comes out in Ezekiel 8:12-13. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them. You know, end quote. I don't have time to go into it exegetically, but listen, that's talking about the kind of weird stuff we're talking about here. Be sure your sins will find you out. Okay, I don't have time to get into Andrea Mitchell's lament. Quote, people related to Hillary as a man, end quote. People don't relate to Hillary in a personal, connected sort of way, they found. They react to her as they would a man, and that's a problem. So liberals cannot relate to men. I thought they didn't care about gender confusion. Anyway, I guess we can understand why they can't figure out Trump. They don't know what to do with a man, and no time to address the death of Castro, and to compare the reactions of president-alleged with president-elect. But I must say it was refreshing to hear the president-elect say the truth about that miserable, murdering, and oppressing dictator in Cuba. And I'm glad we won't have to listen to that nauseating weasel occupying the White House for too much longer. All right, listen. Look, Jesus called Herod a fox. So there is a long biblical tradition for identifying scoundrel politicians with animals. But this doesn't mean I wish him ill or would take any pleasure in his destruction. My God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And Castro's death does not give me pleasure. If he died as he lived, he's in hell, awaiting his final judgment and sentence to the lake of fire. That man and those of his ilk will be burning in the agony of his own wickedness long after we are enjoying the peace of heaven and have forgotten all about him. Besides, what joy is there? The Bible does say in Proverbs 11:10, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. And it tells us in 28:28, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. But what shouting for the passing of that wicked man, Castro, since it appears his brother is just like him. Let's continue to pray the people of Cuba will finally be truly liberated from oppressive tyrants. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000 and leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. Go to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com, and you'll find there a place to send me an email. And you can write to me as long an email as you like. I always respond to my callers if you tell me you want me to call you back. And I also always respond to those who write me a letter by email. God save you, my dear friends. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon.